When we meet another person, we can perceive them in two fundamentally different ways: as a fellow human being with hopes, fears, and dreams, or as merely a complex biological organism. This distinction lies at the heart of R.D. Lang's groundbreaking work. In 1960 psychiatric circles dominated by clinical detachment, Lang dared to suggest something revolutionary: that to understand mental illness, particularly schizophrenia, we must first understand the patient's subjective experience of their world. What if madness isn't simply a collection of symptoms, but an intelligible response to unbearable circumstances? What if psychosis represents not a break from reality, but a desperate attempt to preserve a threatened sense of self? We typically take our sense of being real for granted, waking up feeling substantial and anchored in shared reality. But when this basic security is missing, the ontologically insecure person experiences themselves as insubstantial, fragmented, and perpetually threatened. Imagine feeling like a ghost, present but not quite real, observing life but never fully participating. For such individuals, ordinary circumstances that bring others joy become existential threats. The world doesn't offer fulfillment, but presents constant dangers of being overwhelmed or erased. This insecurity manifests in three primary anxieties: engulfment, fear of losing identity and relationships; implosion, terror of reality obliterating the self; and petrification, dread of being reduced to an object. Consider James, a chemist who complained of having no self and being only a response to other people. While others seemed solid and substantial, he felt lightweight and empty, a hollow man in a world of concrete beings. Most of us experience ourselves as our bodies. Emotions manifest physically as butterflies in the stomach, racing hearts, or tears. For the schizoid individual, however, a profound split develops between mind and body. The unembodied person feels detached from their physical existence. Their true self becomes a disembodied observer, while their body becomes an alien object to control rather than inhabit. Simple activities like walking, talking, and expressing emotions transform into complex performances rather than natural expressions. David, a philosophy student who lost his mother at age 10, exemplified this split. Wearing theatrical costumes, speaking in literary quotations, and treating his physical presence as performance. His actions belonged to a false self, acting according to others' expectations, while his true self remained hidden, observing from a distance. This wasn't merely intellectual posturing, but a lived reality with profound consequences. Emotions became threats, spontaneity impossible, and genuine connection forever out of reach. When the world feels fundamentally unsafe, retreat becomes the primary survival strategy. The schizoid individual withdraws their true self into an inner citadel, delegating all contact with reality to a false self system. Unlike the social masks we occasionally wear, this false self feels mechanical and alien, an autonomous entity requiring constant monitoring. This false self develops through excessive compliance with others' expectations, being pathologically good or deliberately bad, but always responding to external definitions rather than authentic desires. The compliance stems from fear and contains hidden hatred toward those threatening the self's autonomy. Through exaggerated conformity, the schizoid paradoxically expresses negative well. Their obedience becomes a form of rebellion. The tragic paradox: the more the self retreats for protection, the more it deteriorates. Cut off from direct engagement with life, the inner self grows impoverished, while the false self handles all transactions with diminishing effectiveness. The relationship becomes not self/body, to self, body/other, creating a cycle where everything, including the self, becomes increasingly unreal and lifeless. For the ontologically insecure person, self-consciousness becomes both salvation and torture. Being aware of oneself provides reassurance of existence, like Kafka's character who made it the aim of my life to get people to look at me, to gain conviction of being alive. Yet visibility creates vulnerability. To be seen is to be exposed to danger. This creates an impossible dilemma, needing to be seen to maintain realness while experiencing others as threats. The schizoid individual both dreads and longs for aliveness. Unlike most people who occasionally overthink, the schizoid strives to make self-awareness as intensive as possible. Yet this self-scrutiny isn't warm reflection, but hostile examination. They exist under the black sun of their own scrutiny that kills spontaneity. A 12-year-old patient described playing a game of blending with the landscape when anxious, staring at surroundings until she felt she disappeared, then repeating her name to bring me back to life. This oscillation between invisibility as safety and visibility as proof of existence captures the fundamental tension in the schizoid condition. The transition from schizoid withdrawal to full psychosis lacks clear boundaries. Cutting oneself off from direct relatedness creates a fundamental problem. The self loses its sentiment du réel by never truly encountering reality. Instead, relationships are delegated to a false self system whose perceptions feel increasingly unreal. As anxiety intensifies, this unrealness spreads to the shared world, body, and eventually even the true self. Everything becomes suffused with nothingness. The inner self, once the last refuge of authenticity, becomes unreal, fantasticized, and dead, unable to maintain its identity. The individual desperately attempts to acquire reality, touching, copying, imitating, or symbolically stealing it from others. Some inflict intense pain on themselves, not for masochistic pleasure, but simply to feel something real amid the growing void. For the person whose world has become deadened, two final possibilities remain: to be themselves despite everything, or to attempt to murder their self. Both paths typically lead to manifest psychosis. The apparently normal person may maintain a convincing facade, while an interior psychotic process unfolds secretly, until one day the volatile self desires to escape its confinement, ending the pretense as psychosis erupts seemingly out of a blue sky. Despite the profound fragmentation of the schizophrenic self, healing remains possible. The journey begins with being truly seen by another human being. As Joan, a recovering schizophrenic woman, explained, "The doctor's love lets me unfold and reveal myself." Schizophrenics use obscurity and nonsense as protective strategies, laughing and posturing, to simultaneously please and confuse doctors, shielding their vulnerabilities. This explains why symptoms often evaporate when the person feels genuinely understood. The healing relationship must navigate a crucial paradox. The patient must express hatred before love can emerge, yet feels tremendous guilt about potentially harming the therapist. Even in the most deteriorated schizophrenic, some vestige of self remains, an I that cannot find a me. Healing involves establishing clear boundaries between self and other, allowing the person to embody their true self rather than retreating into a defensive death in life. In our increasingly fragmented world, Lang's insights speak not just to those diagnosed with mental illness, but to anyone struggling to maintain authenticity amid social pressures. The schizophrenic's journey reflects the universal human challenge of finding our way back to ourselves in a world that often threatens to tear us apart.